19. Verse 22 and verse number 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them. Took bread, gave thanks, breaks it, gave for us. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And that clause there is just the word to pour out, which is being poured out for you. Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Verse number 41. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers. Now, 1 Corinthians, Acts 20, verse number 6. You may just want to glance up at verse 4, you'll see a big pile of names, and you'll see in verse 5 that those people that are all named there, these going before tarried for us at Troas, and we, certainly Luke and Paul anyway, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, please, and we'll read from verse number 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one take it before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. But I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was being betrayed, took bread, and said, hey, eat, this is my body, which is broken and given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, ye do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that will do with God's blessing. Before I say anything else, I just want to say it's an appropriate time for me to say much we have appreciated your kindness and your love and your energy over these 4 weeks of 3 weeks of gospel meetings here. We always have felt friend of this, that we've seen the more the case. And so we want to thank you for everything. And to see God's hand amongst us is a blessing, and we pray for others to be blessed tonight as the gospel continues. So it's a joy to share with Brother Jonathan, and it's a joy to be back. And we want to say thank you very, very much indeed. Last week, I dealt with the prayer meeting. And we're just looking at the fundamentals. Why do we gather together to pray? I dealt with what was a challenge to my own soul, actually, about what should happen at a prayer meeting, and how do we pray. Well, today, just for a few minutes, and I know it's just after the break of bread, but we'll just have a few minutes, I'd like to deal with why do we pray prayer? What do we do in relation to the breaking of bread? Why is that scripture? There's a loaf and a cup on the table. Is that scripture? What we've just done today, is that what the Bible says that should happen? As you're probably all aware, there are many things happening out there. And there are many ways to do church out there. But what does the Bible say? Really, it's what we're all about. First of all, simple question. Where did the early disciples break bread? Where did they break bread? Well, if you're still in 1 Corinthians 11, and your Bible's still open to that particular reference, just notice again what it says so explicitly in the verse there, in verse number in verse number 20, and when you come together therefore into one place, and then again verse 17, when you come together. So clearly this is an assembly function. It's in a function of the whole church, and you come together into one place. It was never envisaged in the mind of God that some would be breaking bread over here and some would be breaking bread over there. It was envisaged that the whole church would come together and that they would break bread together and they would do what the Lord asked them to do to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what if they were traveling? Well, that's why I read in Acts 20. You may remember it was a whole group of Christians with Paul, and they'd gone across from Macedonia, and they'd gone across the Aegean Sea towards Troas, and they were waiting for them, and Luke and Paul all came, and eventually they got to the assembly in Troas, and then, you might remember, they waited a whole week before they broke bread. They didn't break bread on the boat. Even though there was quite a few Christians on the boat, they waited until the assembly had formed and gathered together in order to break bread. It was an assembly function. And that's consistent all the way through the Acts as we see how the early Christians conducted themselves. So I would argue that what you're doing in gathering together as an assembly to break bread would seem to have scriptural precedent to support it. And at no time should we think about changing that. You say, well, what happens if I do go to another place on holiday? Well, take with you a letter of commendation, so that if you can find an assembly and they'll be able to receive you, because it's only an assembly where we can gather together to break bread. It seems to be that's the scriptural precedent. So that is where we break bread. But what about, and by the way, there's a very good reason for that, as you just paused. It's only in the assembly that the Lord's presence amongst us is guaranteed. What you say, the Lord's everywhere. God is omnipresent. He's with me as I travel to work in the car. He's with me as I make my breakfast. He's with me. He's with me all the time, that's for sure. Oh, well, there is no truth. That's a great truth here, the omnipresence of Christ. But there's something quite unique about that principle. As he taught the truth of the church, you may remember when he comes down Mount Transfiguration, he teaches the truth of the local church there in Matthew 18. And he says, there's a group of people on earth, but where two or three are, having been gathered together into my name, there am I in the midst of them. He says, there's a group of people in a particular location on earth that gather into association with our name, Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we started with the hymn this morning. He says, there am I in the midst of them. So there's something very specific about his presence that goes beyond the omnipresence of Christ, that he chooses to locate his presence amongst his people as they gather into association with his name. That's why it's an assembly function. And that's what makes it such a privilege. He says, my house should be called the house of prayer. But fundamentally, his house is for worship. And what did we come to do today? We came to worship. And who did we come to? We came to the Lord Jesus. And we believe that right now, he's in our midst. Even as I stand and speak, may you want to sit down, wouldn't you? Look at he's here. Lord Jesus, in a mess. I tell you, that changes everything, doesn't it, brother and sister? It really does. The way I speak, the way I dress, the way I think, even how quickly I come to the meeting, punctuality is important. Everything matters. Because he's here. Brent, it was an assembly function. Wherever the assembly got together, it doesn't mean to say it was a purpose-built gospel hall. Thank God for your new hall and your new paintwork and everything. It's wonderful. But you know what? The early days Christians met in upper room sometimes. In fact, they met sometimes in the early days in the forecourt of the temple. Just there was that many of them, 3,000 of them. Sometimes they met in the school of one Tyrannus in Acts 19. They've got a school to meet. So it doesn't really matter the actual building, but the assembly of God's people, when they meet together, can break bread. Now that's the way. What about the food? Who breaks bread? Who breaks bread? Well, that's what I read in Acts 2. It says, those that gladly received his word, so they have to be saved. That's a starting point. You know, we're in these tent meetings, preaching the gospel, that people might get saved. It's fundamental. That's all that really matters. Salvation. Those that gladly received his word. What happens next? They are baptized. People who receive Christ get baptized. And what happens next? Well, they are added unto them. They're added to the assembly. And what a multitude were added on that occasion. 3,000 souls must have been some occasion to be at Pentecost. Eh? And what were they added to continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, so that they had to accept the teaching of Holy Scriptures and accept the apostles' teaching regarding Christ and regarding the church and all of everything, actually. Accept the apostles' teaching and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. So I'm learning, you know, that no one gets received to the breaking of bread. That's a misnomer in folks' minds. You're received to the assembly fellowship. And you receive to continue steadfastly the apostles' teaching, the prayers, the fellowship, and the break of bread. And that makes such a big difference when it comes to reception. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, we're glad of that. You're my brother in Christ, then, and my sister in Christ. Are you baptized? Are you consistently walking in the apostles' doctrine? Then you should be part of the fellowship, and all who are members of the fellowship can participate in the breaking of bread. What a privilege it is, brothers and sisters, isn't it? As we hear the Saviour say, this food in remembrance of me. Just the privilege of gathering to remember him. And I suppose, as I think of the privileged position that we have, we gather not so much to give, but rather we gather not so much to receive, but to give. We don't be gathered to do this do in the remembrance of me. But as I gather to remember him and proclaim his death once more until he comes again, there is something about the privilege of doing. I come to worship. It's an active response of my soul as I've gathered up of all of the things I've enjoyed in the week, something to present back to his God and Father for his Son. I'm not saying I don't receive a breaking bread. I can hardly think of a breaking bread I've never received. But the purpose of gathering is to give and to do. And I come, in the language of 1 Peter, as a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Oh, not like the Jews of old with my lambs and my doves now. But it's no less a sacrifice. It's a spiritual sacrifice. I come with my hands full of grace. My hands been in the fine flour and the oil. I come just to present to him the love that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell his God and Father all about his Son. That's our first purpose. To remember him. And that's why, you know, it's not any old hymn that you just give out. Because it has to be a hymn that is to do with the remembrance of Christ. And it's not any old prayer, you know. It's right to give thanks for your salvation. Of course it is. But we're here to remember him. We're here to remember him. That's our calling, to remember him. There's something also about the when question. I've dealt with where and who. And you might say, when do we break bread then? It's always 10:30 on a Sunday. Is that what it says in the Bible? Well, what does it say? It says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples gathered to break bread. By the way, it doesn't say on the first day of the week, disciples gathered to break bread. It says on the first day of the week when disciples gathered to break bread. In other words, it was their practice to break bread on the first day of the week. Now, we're awful glad for that reference in Acts 27, because, you know, we would have been scratching our head how often we had to do it. The Lord said, this do ye as often as you drink it. And he indicated it was to be a repetitive practice. But in the Bible, you know, particularly in the New Testament, it begins to condemn going back to Judaism. Galatians 4 says, ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. He says, you've not done special days. You've not done special months. And you've not done special seasons. And you've not done special years. You say, what does that leave? It leaves only one thing left, weeks. And that's what we have. And on the first day, God made the universe. On the first day of the week, the first sheaf of the barley harvest was brought. It's called the Feast of First Fruits, Leviticus 23. And on the first day of the week, two meal offerings were brought on the Feast of Pentecost. Yes, on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. On the first day of the week, the church was inaugurated in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down. And on the first day of the week, disciples had a collection, just like what we just had. That's 1 Corinthians 16. And on the first day of the week, disciples gathered to break bread. Now, I'm not saying it's 10:30. I don't know when it's to be. Because, you know, as we saw in Acts 20, after they broke bread, Paul preached at midnight. That tells me they must have broken bread probably in the early evening. You see, why would they do that? Well, unlike us, who have the privilege of getting our Sundays off most of us, they were in a country where Saturday was a day off. Sunday was a working day. But the first opportunity the church had to break bread, they took it. And I take it that's the principle. That's why I think it's nice to be on a Sunday morning. First opportunity that the assembly has to break bread, you take it. Because it's God first. It's worship first. Worship first. And can I say, brothers and sisters, I don't think there's a higher calling for any one of us than what we've just done today. This too, in remembrance of me. And as you took the bread and as you drank the cup, you know what we all did together? We collectively proclaimed his death until he comes again. What a wonderful act. He's coming again. You might never do this again. And when you get to glory, you'll remember the last time you took the bread and wine. You'll remember how on earth you stood in testimony collectively as a company of Christians to testify to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is an honour. It really is a privilege. So, where? Who? When? I think it's clear that there are answers to these particular questions. Why? Well, I've already indicated at least one of them was the remembrance, this doing remembrance of me. I've already indicated another one. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so we have an act of collective remembrance and an act of proclamation that takes place. What should happen? Should it be that we should just come in and break bread and that's it? All clear off. I don't know about you, but if there was a remembrance kind of service for me, and you all came in and had 2 minutes and then cleared off, I think I'd be a bit disrespectful. I think you can say we had a remembrance service for you. I think it's appropriate. But there's a time of remembrance before we take the evidence. I wouldn't want to put a time limit on it. I'm not saying it's something we can say it's half an hour or whatever, but it seems appropriate to spend a little bit of time remembering the one that we've come to worship. Remembering him. And I would argue that what you're doing seems to be in keeping. There is a little principle that I see it. This do in remembrance of me is actually the preposition is. This do into the remembrance of me. It's got the idea of motion. And I do believe that as we move towards Calvary and we move towards the climax of our gathering, there's something very, 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 very lovely that we go into that moment with acts and thoughts of worship in our souls and in our hearts. And we will remember the one who came from the glory. Mm-hmm. And we will remember Bethlehem, who came to be incarnate. And we'll remember the perfect boyhood years. And at the end of 30 years, the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, and who is all my delight. And we'll remember the one who moved and did miracles and healed the blind and rose and raised the dead and touched the leper. And we'll remember the one who moved steadily towards Calvary, his face set like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And we'll remember the one who went into the darkness of Golgotha. We heard it quoted today. My God, why didst thou forsake me? And we'll remember the sin bearer. And we'll remember the one who laid his head upon his breast and died. And we'll never forget that he was rose from the dead. But you know, there is something about that journey to the truth. Remember it. It was in my heart as I gave it that hymn. That's what we're here for, brothers and sisters. And we'll do that until he comes. And we'll do it weekly. And we'll do it at the start of every new week. And we'll put him first. You say, well, we could have a Bible reading instead. We could have a gospel instead. Oh, I'm all for Bible readings. Believe me, I was brought in Bible reading. I love them. But no, there's worship comes before service. And that's why I think it's appropriate that Paul preached the midnight after it was over. The preaching of the Word of God, which is God speaking to us, comes after we speak to God. Worship's that way. Ministry's that way. And I believe it's a God-first principle that takes place. And after the break of bed, it's appropriate, isn't it? As I'm doing just now. For the times of ministry and teaching. See, but what about the emblems themselves? I mean, love to God. Careful with the time then. Well, let's keep it simple, brothers and sisters. That's why I tried to emphasize in Luke 22 how simple it was. The world of Christendom is utterly confused what we're doing. They've got different names for it. Called the Eucharist, the Communion. Well, there's only one new name for it. Maybe two, you could argue. The breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper. Nothing else in Scripture that calls what we've just done. And what is it? It's a simple loaf and a simple cup. The fruit of the vine and the loaf. Nothing clever about it, and yet how simple, how wise that the Lord made it so simple. The bread speaking of his body, the cup of wine. And I tried to show that he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he distributed it and he said, take eat. Now I did something that I've never done before today. You may not know that. I took part and I gave thanks to the bread standing where I was. I've never done that in my life before. And I just thought, you know that, okay? I did it because I should practice here. But I would get you to have a look at Luke 22 again. He took a loaf, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And I think that's the divine order that we should do. And then he distributes it, and then we eat it. And when we eat it, we proclaim his death until he comes. Brothers and sisters, there is no higher place to be at. It's one of the assembly functions. And it's a privilege, isn't it, to be a holy priest. We got out of the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews calls it the fruit of our lips. And we come to him to give the very best that God has given us. As we speak back to his God and Father, his blessed Son, never let us treat this people. You know, there's two people that I know were baptized when they were 78. And I think one of them might be younger than that. But they're both in their 70s anyway. And they're an assembly not far from me. And I always say to them, how do you join the morning meeting again? And you know what they always say to me? Hey, it's heaven. It's heaven. I want to say, this is heaven and earth. We're transported to glory. That's why we come to worship. And let's never forget, God has left sufficient information in his word to tell us how we should gather. How we should conduct ourselves in relation to this wonderful face of God. Amen.